for those of you that are interested in the fact that today begins the 2017 NFL season. Well, Thursday started the NFL season, but today starts the real big part of the season where all the teams start playing. There's going to be one team that plays today that wants to forget one thing that happened. The Atlanta Falcons want to start this year looking forward because in, was it 2016, 18 games from now, whatever it is. I don't know the number. I'm not that good at football. They want to be in the Super Bowl again because they're looking forward to that. Because if they look backwards, they're not going to like what they saw at the end of last season because they're going to go down in history as the team that blew the Super Bowl in the last 16 minutes of the game. They had such a commanding lead, if I'm not mistaken, going into the fourth quarter, they could have walked home with the Super Bowl. All they had to do was play 15 minutes worth of good football. The problem is they didn't play 15 minutes worth of good football. They might have thought they played good football, but the other team played better football. And as a result, they went from being almost a Super Bowl champions to being looked on all offseason as the team that blew the Super Bowl. In fact, it's played out in commercials recently. You know, how do you recover from blowing the biggest game? You know, they spent the last few months probably hearing the word epic fail, choke, what a meltdown. And but if they dwell on those points, they're going to lose today's game. They're going to lose next week's game. They're going to lose the game after because their hearts aren't going to be in it. They're just not going to feel like they need to be. If they dwell on the past, they will not be successful in the future. Now, I'm not saying to not look back at the past because the past will help them. They can see what they did wrong. But if they dwell on that, they're not going to be successful in the coming year. It brought to mind the account of Paul in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. As something we need to remember in our daily Christian walk is something we hear in this scripture. Philippians 3, 12 through 14. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after that I may, if that I may apprehend that for which I am also apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. If in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have attained already, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Most of us sitting here today have attained one thing in our lives. We've attained oneness with Christ and with God because we have accepted His Son's sacrifice. We've been baptized into His resurrection. We have become a new person. But you know what? There is a past behind us. Everybody sitting here today has a past. But I think what He's telling us here is forget about the past. Look to the future. Because the future is what holds things in store for us. Do not rest on what you have left on the past behind you, or you will be tempted to return in your mind and actions. Just as I brought about earlier, you know, I need to think of the things, I need to remember the things I've done before and how good I feel now because I don't have those in my life anymore. But I need to also remember to forget those things because they will drag me back down. Paul tells us to forget what is behind and reach for those things that are before us. I saw an interesting thing. I didn't realize this. Babe Ruth struck out 1,330 times in his baseball career. But he ended up hitting 714 home runs. Had Babe Ruth got to 60 strikeouts and thought, it ain't worth it, I'm not going to play the game no more, would he have ever hit 714 home runs? No. He kept trying. Did he think every time he got up to the base, to the plate, I could strike out this time? Probably not. There was good possibility he was going to strike out, but there's also good possibility he was going to get that one pitch that was right in the sweet spot, and he was going to knock it out of the ballpark. And he did it 714 times. R.H. Macy failed seven times before his New York department store finally caught on. I don't go to Macy's, but, you know, if I'm going to try seven times, you got to be pretty devoted to what you're trying to do. He could have given up after the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, but he kept trying. There's a company in, it's kind of a weird thing, because it's in Menomee, Wisconsin, and Menomee, Wisconsin is where this factory's at that I went to a while back. It's called AutoSham, and they make their money off chicken warmers and chicken fryers and those kinds of things. But what kept that company in business was the inventor decided, I'm going to make something to transport warm chicken to people in. Well, it was working, but what really made it work was when Colonel Sanders got on board and said, I like your idea. I like what you're doing. And with Colonel Sanders and Kentucky Fried Chicken, they propelled this company into a, and this is a family-owned business, still is, into a multi-billion-dollar company that sells to Hy-Vees and to Kentucky Fried Chickens and all those. But, you know, they were struggling there at the start, but then somebody finally helped them out and said, hey, I like your idea. But Colonel Sanders, if I understand right, had many failures in his life before he ever got successful at making Kentucky Fried Chicken. Still can't beat my mother-in-law's chicken, but she's not here today to hear me say that, but it's Kentucky Fried Chicken nonetheless. We're all human. We make mistakes. We sin. We fail. But what's worse is missing the opportunities God puts in front of us. Had Babe Ruth never stood back up to the plate, he would have never hit those 715 home runs. There's a Nike advertisement. This kind of dates a little bit. A voice came on television saying, I've missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I've lost almost 300 games. 26 times I've been trusted to take the game-winning shot and missed. I've failed over and over again in my life, and that is why I succeed. Those were the words spoken by Michael Jordan, who was a Nike spokesman and sponsor of Nike. But yet, if he had dwelled on the fact that I blew 300 games, was it 300 games? I lost almost 300 games. How many of those he had a chance to win with taking a shot, and he didn't get it done? There's no guarantees in this life that we're going to be successful at everything we do. Just because I'm a Christian walking and talking with Christ is no guarantee that I'm going to be successful in everything I do. The success comes when I rely on Christ and I rely on God to help me get through. When I realize that I need to forget the things that are behind and reach for the things that are before me. Because God doesn't want us looking backwards. He wants us looking forwards. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 16. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, and a persecutor, and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful thing, saying and worthy of all acceptation that Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. I think at one place he says I was chiefest of sinners, if I'm not mistaken. He was the chiefest of sinners. I don't think I've ever been a persecutor, an injurious, a murderer. He left that part out. He was a murderer. He went and he sought people out and he separated them from their families. He separated them from each other because they were serving God. They were serving Jesus, and he didn't think they should be doing that. He was dead set against that. But then God changed his life. You know, there are many times in my life, probably it had been a good idea if God would have struck me blind, or God would have come down and looked at me and said, are you with me or are you against me? Because I did things in my life that I'm ashamed of. And I still do things in my life that I'm ashamed of. But yet God came down to Paul, or Saul, and he stopped him dead in his tracks. Now Saul had a choice at that point in time. Okay? And he said at one place, it's hard to kick against the pricks. He could have said, I'm not going to change. I'm dead set in my ways. But yet if I'm blinded by the light, and I hear voices talking to me, that's going to affect me and make me want to change. And that's what happened to Saul, and he changed. But my question to you is, when God changed his course of action, Paul changed his course of action also, and he worked the plan that God had for him. But did God wipe out Paul's memory at that point in time? Did God say, okay, we're going to take everything that was behind you, and we're going to forget about it. It's gone. You don't even know it. It's wiped out. It's a computer. I hit Control, Alternate, Delete. There's nothing back there. Did God do that? No. God didn't do that. Paul chose to put that all behind him. But yet it was still back there in the back of his mind. He could turn to that and say, this is the way I used to be. Now I am a better person than what. But Paul does not dwell on his past. He could have dwelt on his past, but he didn't, because God did not wipe it out. And you know what? God doesn't wipe out my past. He wipes out my past as far as he sees it, but my past is still there. I can still think about my past, and that's where I get in trouble. I start looking backwards instead of forwards. Okay, I have a lot of things to look forward to, most of which is going to heaven and seeing God at the end of time when I die. But I have a lot of living to do between now and then. And I have to ask myself, am I focused on God and on eternal life, or am I focused on myself? Because if I start focusing on myself, I think I start to look backwards at how I used to be. I heard it said earlier this week that when you become a Christian, God doesn't guarantee a smooth road. God doesn't guarantee everything's going to be rosy and peachy and keen and all that. Because when we become a Christian, we become a battlefield. We enter a battlefield. Because there is God, and there is the world and Satan. And Satan is wanting us to falter, but God wants us to succeed. And if I walk into my job, or if I had walked into my job on the first day, and they'd say, well, it did happen to me, actually. I found out about 6 months after I started that the guy that hired me was telling people he didn't think I'd make it 6 months. And I've probably told this before. Well, I'm about 21 and a half years past that 6 months, so I made it. And every time I see the guy, he comes in once in a while, I laugh and say, so, 6 months, huh? Said, I think I made it past that. You know, we're best friends now, but not as good of friends as I am with you guys. But had I looked back at that and thought, well, he didn't think I'm going to make it every 6 months, why am I even trying? You know, because I've made a lot of mistakes in 22 years of being there. But I proceed forward. You know, I think we can learn a good lesson from Paul. If we forget what we used to be and become the person that we can be now. And how are we going to do that? Well, I think we've got a couple different ways we can do that. First way, we're going to build our confidence. Okay? Before I became a Christian, my confidence was in myself. My confidence was in the things around me, the world. But now my confidence should be in God and in Christ. Okay? Did I have struggles and trials before I became a Christian? Yes, I did. But I didn't think that much about them because they were just everyday occurrences. Now when I have a struggle and a problem in my Christian life and I stumble a little bit, but I come through it, I need to look at that as a hurdle. Okay? I hurdled something. I overcame something. And each time we overcome that, it'll make us stronger for the next challenge. Paul, when he started going out and ministering, he had hurdles to cross, I think. He brought it up several times. You know, he'd go into a city or a town, and the comments would be made, isn't this the man that was persecuting and killing people not too long ago? Now he's preaching for the same person he was persecuting? That was a hurdle he had to overcome. He had to let these people know that he was working for God now. He was preaching salvation. He wasn't out to kill them. So he had hurdles to cross, but every time he was successful, that was a hurdle he overcame. You know, a lot of people think Job didn't have a lot of hurdles to cross. You know, he had it made. He was rich. He had power. He had all this. And Satan started throwing hurdles at him. And he overcame all these hurdles. Okay, so how do you think Job handled the next hurdle 5 years from then when something came up? I think he was able to hold that pretty good because he'd already overcome the other hurdles that were thrown at him. So we need to remember that each time we falter and we overcome it, we're stronger for that because we overcome that hurdle. I never ran hurdles in school, but I understand, I think in track, you can knock down all the hurdles you want and still race, but the idea is to try to get over the hurdles. But the problem is, if you clip the hurdle when you're going over it, it's liable to knock you down. Because you'll watch the Olympics, and they may knock down half the hurdles between the start and the finish and still win the race. But the thing is, the hurdle didn't knock them down. Okay, now I'm not going to try to hurdle for you. And I guarantee I'd never clear one. But they may have hit them, but they cleared them enough that they were able to finish the race. The hurdle didn't knock them down. So Satan may trip me up. The world may trip me up. But if he doesn't knock me down, then I have overcome the temptation he threw at me. So I build my confidence, makes me stronger to go through the next one. We can do it by forming friendships. When Christ came to this earth, was he by himself? No, he was by himself for a little bit, and at times just by himself. But I think what got him through as he journeyed along his three-year ministry was he had close comrades with him. He had friends that he'd build up. He had godly friends were with him, that were strong with him. But yet he still had to somewhat at times pull away from his friends. There are several times when it said he went up to the mountains to pray. He had to get away for a while, but he still had friendships. That's how we're going to overcome and keep looking forward, is by building friendships. I happen to be looking through, and I'm not a big Facebook person. I probably antagonize more than I help on Facebook. But I was looking through Facebook, and I saw Northwest High School, class of 1970-something or other. And there's pictures. That's not my class. I'm a 1980. I'm not that old. But it gave me the chance, if I wanted to, I could go back and look at the class of 1980, and I could see all my friends that I had in 1980. Well, there's only about five of them I could actually give you their names right now, because they weren't really friends. They were just people I hung out with because they acted like they liked me. Okay? I didn't have any real friends in school. I was kind of a loner. But I have a lot of friends sitting here this morning, I hope. I hope I'm not a loner out here at Vandalia. But I have a lot of friends sitting here at Vandalia. And that's how I formed those friendships through the years. And those friendships will help me get through any of the struggles I have in my life. I could look back at Northwest High School, but it's not going to be a very nice look back, because I really didn't enjoy Northwest High School, because I had to walk to school every day, uphill both ways. No, I had a lot of kids that I only hung out with because they didn't tell me to go get lost when I hung out with them, but I wasn't willing to do the things they were doing, but yet I considered them my friends. They might not have considered me their friend, but I thought, hey, that's my friend. If somebody asked, that'd be my friend. Was he really my friend? I don't know. I hope I can sit here if somebody asks if Justin's my friend, I can say, yeah, Justin's my friend. That may change, I don't know, after today. But we form friendships. Proverbs chapter 17:17 says, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A true friend understands your needs and struggles. A brother always has your back. So we have friends and we have brothers, okay? I consider I consider all of you here today not just my friends, but my brothers and sisters. Because I think you love me at all times, and you're born for my adversities. If I have a problem, I think you're there to help me through it. Okay? A brother always has your back. Okay? I got three brothers, and I'm not sure they got my back as much as you guys would have it. But normally a brother is close enough to you that if something comes up, he's got your back. What that means is somebody's picking on you, somebody's trying to knock you down, they're going to be there ready to take you on. I can guarantee Blake's no, what, 4 or 5 years old now? 4 years old? I get that confused all the time. 4 years old. But if Lincoln's laying on the floor and somebody acts like they're going to do something to Lincoln, Blake at 4 years old is still going to be a brother, and he's going to go over there and try to help. I've seen him do it at our house. I don't know what it is, but he's a brother, and that's his brother. You're not going to pick on my brother. So I hope that's the way we are with our Christian brothers and sisters. We're friends, but yeah, we're brothers too. Proverbs 18:24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And that would be Christ. What person is closer than a brother? It would be Christ. Because he has given us everything. I could call my brothers and ask them for something. They're probably not going to give it to me. I could call you guys as my brothers, ask you for something. You may not give it to me because you don't think it's good for me. Which is good. I like that. But Christ is there for me no matter what. And he'll help me through. By looking forward, not backwards, we're going to strengthen our perseverance. We're going to strengthen our perseverance because we're going to look at, okay, back in 1985, 88, well, I don't say 85, I got married that year. I don't want to use any bad things out of that year. Sorry, dear. Back before 1985, when I was doing things I shouldn't have been doing, okay, I wasn't looking at overcoming hurdles. Okay, but now I look at those same hurdles and I overcome them because I build up perseverance. I've built up strength and encouragement to get over those. So each trial I face and overcome will give me confidence that I can do it again. I can get through those struggles. You know, I got one bad habit and I need to get rid of it. And someday I will, maybe, I don't know. I'll get back to the office, or I'll get to the job site, and somebody asks me, "How's your day going?" You know, I like to say, usually I say, "Oh, I'm living the dream," but sometimes I say, "Man, I could use a drink right now." I really don't mean that, but what's that saying to people around me? Well, he's just like us. You know, I get home from work and I really need to take a drink too, or I'm gonna stop on the way home and get a drink. Okay, that's how the world handles it. So I need to stop saying that, and I'm working on stopping saying that. But now I'm getting to a point where I'll say, "I need a drink," but then I'll say, "of Pepsi," or "Diet Pepsi." So I'll try to add that little bit to it so they know I'm not talking about alcoholic beverages. But I need to overcome that, and I think by learning to change that style of my talking, I will have perseverance and be able to overcome. Do you ever quit learning at work? You know, 22 years of doing what I do, and I learn something new every day. So I never quit learning at work. Why would I think I never quit learning as a Christian? Do I think just because I'm baptized and I've been a Christian for 40-some years that I've got it all down? I hope not, because I need to be learning every day. Because every day I learn something else. Every day I understand something else. Every day I go through something and I think, wow, I was able to overcome that. And it helps me to learn. It helps me build perseverance. But I'm not going to do it on my own. I'm not going to do it just because I sit there in my easy chair and think, okay, it's going to happen. I'm going to become smart now because I'm sitting in my easy chair. I'm going to learn by doing. I'm going to learn by studying. I'm going to learn by getting it right and by failing at times at the same time. Because there's the old phrase, failure is never final, success is never ending. Okay, success could be final if you don't keep trying. And failure is not ever going to end. You're always going to fail. You're always going to fail, but you're going to learn how to overcome it by studying. We're going to overcome it by prayer. Daniel prayed. Okay, I've never had anybody walk up to me and say, you can't pray to anybody. It happens in the world, I think, but not something I have to put up with on a daily basis. But Daniel was pretty much told, you cannot pray to anybody. What did he do? Well, he went and sat in his easy chair and forgot about it. No, he went, opened up the shutter of his house, and he prayed three times a day where people could see him praying. So he didn't stop. Why would I think I can get through life without prayer? Jesus prayed. Why would Jesus have to pray? Because Jesus was a man just like I am, and Jesus needed help. Well, who do you go to for help? You go to God. So he went to his Father in prayer and asked for strength, asked for help, asked for encouragement. So we need to pray. And I think there are a couple different kinds of prayer. I'm not going to get into a deep dissertation on prayer, but I think there are two different kinds of prayers we can have. We can have the heartfelt prayer, which is I get one and one. I get right down there with God. That's Jesus when he was on the mount before his crucifixion, sweating drops of blood. Father, I help me through this. I don't know if I can get through this. We don't have what he, you know, we don't know. We just know he was deeply emotional at this point in time. He was praying. That's the kind of prayer I need to have sometimes with God. God, I'm at the end of my rope. I need your help. This is this. That kind of prayer. But I also think we need the spontaneous prayer. Okay, we've heard it said before. I'm driving down the road, and there was a song, you know, gal driving down the road with her baby in the back seat, and the car starts spinning out of control, and she says, Jesus, take the wheel. Okay? That kind of spontaneous prayer. Sometimes we need to just let go and let God kind of prayer. And I'm not good at those kind of prayers myself. I'd rather just struggle through and beat myself senseless until I get through it instead of asking God for help. I applaud anybody that has that ability because I'd like to learn how to be that way sometime. And I'm working on it a little bit more at a time. I already scare Bruce half to death when I'm driving sometimes and he's with me. I'm not sure what he's going to do if I decide to say a prayer in the middle of driving. Because I hope I remember to leave my eyes open while I'm praying, not close my eyes and start praying. Or he's liable to never write to me again. Or maybe I'll teach him how to pray. I don't know. But I think sometimes our prayer just needs to be nothing more than, Lord, I need your help and I need it now kind of prayer. And that's how we're going to get stronger and we're going to learn to overcome what's behind us and look forward to what's ahead of us. Probably in all honesty, if I was living 480 miles east of here, this talk would probably have a little different connotation to it because I would probably have some of the influences that were not so good in my life again. And that's why I'm thinking, okay, I'm looking backwards at that, thinking, man, I'm glad I'm crossing Mississippi and came to Iowa. Not just because I got married, but for other reasons too. But I think I'm better off now. But I need to keep looking forward to what lies ahead of me. I have made mistakes. I will continue to make mistakes. But you know what? Those mistakes do not keep me from living a Christian life. It is when I dwell on them that I start to falter. Okay? I'm human. I'm Italian. I don't know what else I can say. I'm going to make mistakes. I have made mistakes. I'll continue to make mistakes. I guarantee you sometime in the next 5 to 7 days, I'm going to make a mistake. I'm going to say the wrong thing to my wife at the right time, and I'm going to be in trouble for it. Or I'm going to say the right thing at the wrong time to one of my kids or one of my bosses or something. I'm getting in trouble for it. So I need to remember that. You know, it's not a bad thing to look backwards sometimes, as long as you don't dwell on the backwards. Okay? What is tomorrow? Tomorrow is Monday. Do what? Tomorrow's 9/11. Okay? I haven't thought about 9/11 all year till this weekend. And I realized tomorrow's 9/11. Okay? I'm going to go find a flag. I'm going to put it on my van if I can find one. I can hang from the window of my car, my van, because I want people to think I'm patriotic. I got the blue stripe in the back of my van because I'm looking back at the police officer that passed away. But tomorrow's 9/11. But we remember that day because it's a horrific day in America. I mean, I wasn't alive at Pearl Harbor. I wasn't alive during the... Obviously, I wasn't alive during the bombing of Hiroshima. I wasn't alive during some of the bad things, but I was alive on 9/11. And that was a horrific experience. Okay? I can't tell you what I had for dinner today. I was baptized. I know I was at Marvin's house with my family for Sunday dinner the day it happened. but I can't tell you what I had for dinner. But I can tell you where I was and what I was doing the day 9/11 hit, because it's etched in the back of my mind. But, you know, I don't think about that every day of my life when I am going about my daily business. But yet, it's nice to think back on those things because it makes me stronger for it, and I think it's made us stronger for it. But, you know what, even after 16 years, there are people that are suffering because of that, and they'll continue to suffer because of that. And it's not because they look back at it all the time. It's just because they have the memory of it. You're never going to lose that memory. I mean, I board a couple airplanes every once in a while, but if you had a family member on one of those airplanes, how would you feel climbing on an airplane? What's going to be your thought? I'm climbing on this airplane, I'm going to fly across the country. You know? Well, that's what my brother and sister were doing back on 9/11. How are you going to feel? Okay? You may never get on an airplane again. There are people right now that probably can't go in a high-rise office building, because they were either in that building or they had family members in that building. Okay? So it's you'll never forget it. And I'll never forget the things I did with one of my cousins and some of our friends. But yet I don't dwell on those things. Okay? I still get in a car. I still drive. I still drive by speed limit signs. And that's an inside story we'll tell another time if you want to hear it. I still pass police cars all the time. Possibly, I haven't tried to outrun one for a while. It's been many, 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 many years that we tried. We won't go there. But I did some things that could be considered shady in my past. But you know what? They're gone. They're back there. They're gone. You know, I was thinking about, I go to prison every once in a while to work. Those people can't forget what they did. They have a daily reminder of what they did. Okay, they're paying their debt to society, but yet as they sit there in prison or jail, they can think daily on what they did because they're paying that price for what they did. I'm not paying a price for what I did. Christ paid the price for what I did and what I was doing. So we don't need to dwell on the past. We need to dwell on the future. Look to the future. You know, the past is gone, but the future is ahead of us. And Christ wants us in His future, and we want to be in His future. You know, we gather here this morning to reconnect with God. I call it reconnecting with God because we're here. You know, there's a lot of days in the week and a lot of things I do. And I can't say that every minute of my day is reconnecting with God. But when I come here this morning, I'm reconnecting with God. And I'm reconnecting with Christ. I'm reconnecting with the sacrifices paid for me. You know, we'll reconnect with 9/11 tomorrow. We'll think about it. We'll pray for people that passed away. We'll think about it when I go to get in a high-rise building if I have to tomorrow, those kind of things. But that's just things. I need to come here on Sunday morning, and that's why we're here, because we need to reconnect ourselves with Christ and with God on an intimate basis. We need to realize what they've done for us. Nobody else has laid down their life for me, okay? We've had army men, we've had soldiers, we've had police officers that have died protecting us, but nobody's ever really laid down their life for me and had it affect me. Christ laid down His life for me. Christ said, I don't care how bad you are, okay? I could be sitting in prison right now, and Christ would say, I have faith in you, I believe in you. All you need to do is come to me. Forget about the past. Let's key on the future, and I could become one of His. So we're always reminding ourselves of what this means, that the old me is dead, and I am a new man and woman through the love that God showed for us. Christ came to this earth. He lived a perfect life. I can't say I lived a perfect life. Nobody can say they've lived a perfect life. Christ lived a perfect life. He came to this earth. He suffered such as I do. Or I did, or I have, and I will. But He overcame those temptations. You can say, yes, but He only had 33 years of it. I've had 56. Doesn't matter. In 33 years, He still was able to overcome. Okay? If you have not overcome, you have not accepted Christ in your life, if you have not been baptized into His death, burial, and resurrection, we're always opening the doors of opportunity to you at each service. If you need to, for some reason, come forward because you've stumbled back into the old man and his ways. and you want to change your ways, we're always given the opportunity to make whatever changes we need in our lives as we stand and sing the closing song.